Welcome to this episode of Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker. We have a Texas Legends family member here with us today. Joel Leach, you are kind of new to the Texas Legends team, not team as in player, right? But team as in staff. So you came highly recommended when you started there. They said, hey, get him on your show. Let's talk to him. So welcome to Hustle and Pro. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't know I was heavily recommended. So
you were. So yeah. So I'm anxious. I don't know a lot about you yet. We haven't met. So this is it. Everybody's going to hear us meeting and learning about Joel and what that means and why people wanted me to talk to you. So let's jump in. I really kind of want to know, just in general, your sports sort of vibe. Like, what did you play as an athlete and for how long? Like, at what levels? What were your sports?
Okay, so yeah, my first sport that I ever played was football. I think I was about 4 years old, and my family threw me in a flag football, and I played for the DeSoto Wildcats. And I think that was my introduction to sports. But, you know, basketball was my first love, you know, watching Space Jam at a young age, and Like Mike, when Like Mike came out, and, you know, PE, I thought I was like a basketball superstar. So I think my first time playing organized basketball, I was 5 years old, played for the DeSoto Tigers in DeSoto, Texas. And from there, you know, it was just love at first sight. And, you know, I continued to play, and I stopped playing my freshman year of high school. It was my last year playing basketball, organized. And I moved into golf. Oh. And I played golf for the remainder of my high school years. And, you know, I dibbled and dabbled in the track and cross country. And I did, you know, other things. But yeah, basketball and football were by far my favorite sports growing up.
So what made you go from basketball that you love as a kid then to golf? That's a strange transition in freshman year of high school.
Yeah. It's an extremely strange transition. A lot of people find it weird. But at the end of my freshman year, I injured my knee really bad. And so I injured my knee, and I didn't work out for the remainder of freshman off season. And, you know, I just kind of stopped coming around, and, you know, sophomore year came around, and I was expecting to automatically be back on a basketball team because I did so well my freshman year and I played. So when I came back my sophomore year ready to play, the coach was like, you didn't come to summer workouts. You know, you didn't finish your end of freshman year workouts. So, you know, like, you can't, you know, you have to work your way back. But it was extremely tough. They made it so hard.
Yeah.
I would have to go to like a basketball prep class, so I wouldn't even be in a basketball practice, you know, like, you know, in a block of our classes. It was like a whole nother class where it's just like a lot of guys trying out to make the team. And like, I just had to go through like an extremely difficult process to get back on the team. And, you know, I was committed to doing that, but my parents, you know, they didn't want to sign off on that. They were like, no, like, why would you do all of that when, you know, we just started academies and like we had like an educational magnet school, and I was in a health magnet school, and it coincided with the basketball schedule. And my parents are, you know, heavily into the academic background, so they don't really care too much about sports. So you know, when that happened, it was hard for me to play basketball. It was just like, well, focus on education.
Yeah, that freshman to sophomore year jump seems to be a big one. We're actually experiencing that in my household right now, because we have a kid who's a sophomore. And so, you know, we're a few months into sophomore year, and the sports jump to make, because here in Frisco, there's freshman teams, then there's JV teams, and there's varsity. Right. To make the freshman team, sure, you know, you have to be a little competitive, but the jump to make JV is a whole nother world. And yeah, it is that, like, it's go time. You're working nonstop. Like, this is your focus, off season all the time, like all summer, all the time. If you're not there for summer workouts, there's really no chance for you to make a JV team.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that you, like, felt that, you know, and your parents said, okay, this is not going to be your focus.
Right. Like, I'm living proof. If you don't go to summer workouts, it'll be hard for you to, you know, advance in high school. So yeah, my sophomore year, I didn't play any sports, just focused on education. And my junior year came around, and I was like, man, like, I really don't like not being in any athletics in school. Like, this is boring. Like, well, you know, what's the point of this? Couldn't play football because my parents were just so against, you know, putting my body on the line and playing football. So I was always interested in golf, and I knew that I wanted to be you know, a professional who took meetings on the golf course. And I just know golf is a great conversation piece. So I said, you know, well, let me learn how to play golf. You know, let me kind of jump in and play a high school golf to get an early, you know, introduction to it and see where it takes me. So.
Yeah, I love that because golf is one of those sports that if you're natural, you can have a natural knack for it and then learn right. What you need to learn and then work hard and excel at it. So right. You went to Tarleton?
Yeah, so I went to Tarleton State before I transferred.
Okay.
So out of high school.
Gotcha. Okay. So what was your college sports life in like it's even like recreationally? Did you do rec sports too?
Oh yeah, I was an intramural superstar. I play intramurals, basketball, flag football, softball. Any intramural that we had, I was probably on the team there. So
those were all my same intramural sports. Basketball, yeah, really? Flag football, softball, soccer.
Soccer? Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't think I did soccer.
Yeah, we did co-ed soccer, outdoor and indoor co-ed soccer.
Oh, wow.
Which is how I met my husband.
Really? So
it worked out. Yeah. His group of friends coached some of our girls' little teams and different things, intramurals. But then we ended up on the same soccer team and back in 97 and the rest is history.
Wow. So
we're still watching each other play sports and our kids yeah. mostly now. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you got your master's in sports management. So I'm guessing yeah. there was always this love and connection of sports. And you mentioned like a health magnet school. And so how right. did all that come into play?
Right. So my grandmother had a stroke my sophomore year of high school. And so when she had the stroke, and I was kind of like, I had a, you know, side by side in the front seat to her therapy process, you know, with learning how to walk again, learning how to talk again, and just kind of learning how to do life as a normal human being again. And seeing that, you know, firsthand, I wanted to go into helping athletes or helping anybody go through physical therapy. So I wanted to be a physical therapist kind of based off of my experience with my grandmother. And when I graduated high school, I kind of shifted wanting to be a physical therapist to wanting to still work in sports, but like in law, like with contracts and everything of that nature. So I went through my high school, my college experience, kind of like focusing on going to law school and, you know, doing that aspect of sports.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggled. I struggled my first year and a half in college academically and just kind of socially because I was in a new environment that was so different from the environment that I grew up in. So, you know, my grades weren't the best and I just had a terrible, you know, experience at Tarleton State. And my parents was like, well, you know, I know you want to be a lawyer and that's great and all, but, you know, you're very good at, you know, being in the media and kind of, you know, working in journalism and everything like that. So, you know, why don't you just focus on doing that? Because that's what you're good at. You know, your grades will improve and things will be, you know, more fluid for you. And even though I didn't really want to do it, it made a lot of sense to kind of shift my focus at that moment. So I did. I shifted my focus to, you know, sports media and journalism. And I did extremely well. You know, I covered Tarleton sports. I did marketing for Tarleton. I took pictures and did everything of that nature. And after my third year at Tarleton, I sat down with one of my academic performance coaches. And he said, Joel, you know, from, you know, the day you walked in here your freshman year to now, man, you've grown so much, and, you know, academically. Well, because my first semester GPA was terrible. It was so bad. But at that point, I got into a 3.25. So I had improved a lot. So he said, hey, you know, there's nothing more that we can offer you here. You need to leave. You need to get out and be exposed to a different environment because, like, that's the only way that you'll grow. You know, you've outgrown Tarleton. So I was like, man, you know, okay, you know, where do I go from here? And so we sat down and we applied to UTA, Texas State, University of Houston, and North Texas. And out of those colleges, I chose North Texas. And leaving Tarleton, I had an internship at WFAA, where I was introduced to Ice Cube and a Big Three. And I kind of covered sports there, but, you know, I did more set management and like marketing as far as commercials. When I got to North Texas, it was hard to get into their media department because, you know, it was a lot of gatekeepers. You know, like North Texas prides themselves in having a great media, you know, great media university program. And a great media program. And, you know, coming into it, they were like, hey, you know, you have a great, you know, background, but, you know, we have a lot of guys who do the exact same thing. So, you know, why include you when we already have our guys? And I was like, oh man, like, wow. Okay.
That's crazy.
So what I do now, right?
Because you're going from one college experience saying, hey, you've stepped up, you've outgrown us, go do something bigger, right, and better. And then you try to go do that. And even after you had your WFAA internship, they're still telling you they need more.
Yeah, they're still telling me they need more. And that, you know, basically, you know, not their words, but kind of a summarization of what they were saying was like, you know, hey, like, you're not good enough. We have guys who did this, this, and that. And like, yeah, like, you have a cool background, but nah, like, it's okay. So, you know, at that moment, I was kind of shaking, like, well, what do I do now? Because I transferred from Tarleton to get into you guys' media department and everything like that. And now you guys are telling me, like, you know, no. And basically, I'm not good enough, and you already have your group. So I took that semester and just kind of tried to figure out, you know, where I wanted to go next with my professional journey. And, you know, something just kept telling me, hey, well, you know, look into business, study business, and, you know, try to get into law school. And even if you don't go to law school, you know, just having a great business background in school will you know, will take you a long way. So I shifted my major and I did integrative studies with a focus in business management, public administration, and communications. You know, a lot of my communications credit already transferred from Tarleton, so I didn't have to take, you know, any more comms classes. So, you know, all of my classes were basically rooted in marketing, business management, and like negotiation. So my last 2 years, I just, you know, got extremely fluid in, you know, my business terms and marketing principles and like negotiation principles. And, you know, once I graduated, I was focused on going to law school, but I just wanted to take a gap year to study sports management just to see if it would really pique my interest. And if not, I was going to go to law school and, you know, focus on being a sports lawyer.
Wow. I mean, because all that contract negotiations and all of, that's so interesting. And I feel like that has blown up in the last, 10 years. I don't know. Lately, 1,000%. Even more. I feel like everybody I meet is like, oh, my son's going to go do this. Can, you know, what do you have advice for him? Which is funny because I know nothing of that specific world in sports at all. I'm just a sports fan who gets to talk about it on this podcast, but it's a hugely popular area of study, and especially up here. So all of that blends together though well, and brought you to the Legends, which is, you know, here in Frisco, they're a huge part of this community. So you might not have known Frisco yet if you're mostly from DeSoto, and were you already living here, or did you move here for this?
Oh, no, I moved here. I moved to Frisco for the Legends. Yeah. I was still in DeSoto when I got the position.
Okay, that's what I figured.
I've heard of the Legends. Yeah.
Well, so growing up in DeSoto, you're probably a Mavs fan.
Definitely. Mavs fan for life.
Next door. Yeah. So you're probably all over that. And so it's a perfect kind of marriage between, or bridge. I love how they really are a bridge. I mean, Al Whitley was on my show earlier too, a while ago, but I think the title of that episode was like the bridge between the Mavs and the Legends, because they truly do have this two-way relationship. I mean, literally, right, with the players, but that's like a perfect fit for you, I would think. But yeah, I mean, you'll know this as you get into your job more and more, how invested the Legends are in this community, not just Frisco, but even all the surrounding areas. So much that they do for kids, camps, but also kids in schools and STEM projects and all kinds of things, and just help out in so many different ways in this community. So you will probably love that as you get to experience that. But I want to ask you about go ahead.
I absolutely love that. And that's one of the things that, you know, really drew me to the Legends, because, you know, I'm very entrenched in my community back home and, you know, Dallas and the Oak Cliff area. And so, you know, seeing that the Legends are heavily involved in their community really warmed my heart, because I didn't want to be a part of any organization who didn't, you know, do a lot for their community, just because, you know, that's one of my values. So.
Yeah. Well, then it's a good match. So I was creeping a little bit because I didn't know you. And I kept seeing that the mayor of DeSoto is commenting on your stuff. So how's that? What happened there?
So like I said, you know, I'm very entrenched into like the DeSoto community and just kind of doing outreach. And, you know, I'm very involved in our elections. So my dad is actually, you know, a campaign manager for a few of the elected officials in DeSoto. And so, you know, with him being a campaign manager and me just being so interested in, you know, in the community and in politics and everything of that nature, you know, anytime and any opportunity I have to help and just kind of be around, you know, I always took that opportunity in high school and college. So, you know, in her election, you know, my dad helped out and, you know, was a big part of her team and just wanted to be involved. And so, you know, as a part of that, you know, I would go to all the campaign rallies or, you know, all the voting polls and just kind of stand outside with our shirt and, you know, handing out cards, hey, vote for, you know, yeah. Mayor Proctor, you know, she's great, you know, just kind of, you know, telling them all the great things about her. So
that's so cool. Yeah. I thought that was cool when I saw her commenting, like, how do you know her? Yeah. That's sort of how our community is here too. Like, it right. isn't uncommon for the mayor to be at, you know, all these events and community outreach right. programs and different things, and a lot of people know him. And so, yeah, I have a feeling you're one of those, you know, movers and shakers that kind of knows what's going on everywhere, and your pulse is, right. you have your finger on the pulse of everything. And
for sure,
you probably have a voice, right? That you, you know, you like to put yourself out there and help and right. get involved, sounds like.
Right. Anyway I can, like, I'm always trying to take the opportunity to help and just to kind of be around and be present, you know, even in the Frisco community. You know, from when I first got here, you know, I've joined organizations like 1 Million Cups and things yeah. of that nature, and try to find out ways that I can volunteer and just kind of add value to their organization and see just what I can do to be a helping hand. And that's just, like, you know, the type of person I am.
1 Million Cups is cool. For those who don't know what that is, it really opens your eyes to different business concepts, different entrepreneurs who are starting something, need seed money, need VC money, whatever it is. And they kind of, like, have a chance to pit, like, a mini pitch session where right. they get to tell this group of people what they've got. And yeah. it's like a community of business builders helping you and doing whatever they can. And the Legends is good at that too, with their networking with the, right. the Owners Club. But the networking within the Legends has been one of my biggest sources of knowing people in this community over the past 4, maybe 5 years. It's insane how many people weave through that organization. And it's basketball, like, all this stuff we just said, we haven't even mentioned the actual basketball part of it, but there's so much off the right? basketball court. I mean, they haven't played yeah. in a few years, so you have to just kind of remember all these other things going on. But so basketball, we're recording this the last day of September. So we are rolling into the fall and basketball is about to happen finally in Frisco, yes, right?
Finally.
There's a lot of talk with Mavs Media Day and all that. So right after all that happens, usually the Legend starts ramping up. So let's talk about basketball for a minute. Who are you, like, I don't know, with your first basketball season here, what are you most looking forward to? Are there any players that you have your eye on or anybody we should be looking forward to seeing out there this year?
So I'm very excited for our season coming up. I'm very excited to see how our two-way guys perform, especially Eugene, because I follow him in Oregon and I really like what he did at Oregon. So I'm definitely excited to see, you know, his contribution to the Legends. I'm excited to see our other two-way guy. I haven't seen much of him in college. I've seen a few highlights, but, you know, I like what we're doing though.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things too throughout the season, watching the players, is seeing who's standing out, right? And then seeing as they move forward in their career, just being excited for them when they get the call-ups, right. even if it's a temporary few game run or whatever, because those things then turn into much more down the road exactly. for those guys. So it's really fun. And having so much access to those players here in this town is awesome for me, with a little boy who loves basketball. And right. he's just, like, in awe after every game that he gets to go on the court and see these, you know, gigantic tall guys, because he's a little 11-year-old and he's grown up right? with these guys, and it's just yeah. a really cool atmosphere. So we're excited to get back out there. So when are we actually going to see games in Frisco? Is it not till November?
November 12th, first home game. Yep,
November 12th. Okay, well, I'm sure we'll be there. We're there a lot. All right, I also read that Malcolm said that he can beat you in a one-on-one. Is this true?
No, he said that I can beat anyone in one-on-one.
Okay. I've hugely misquoted him. You can beat anyone in a one-on-one.
Yeah, all yeah. Right. If you put anyone against me, they're losing.
Is that part of the interview process with Malcolm?
No, I didn't get to play Malcolm yet. I don't think he wants to see me in one-on-one. But You know, we play a lot, we talk a lot of trash, and you know, we're all competitors here, and we all love sports. We actually have someone here who's very good at one-on-one. We've played a few times, and he's gave me some problems. So
who?
Grant Norman.
Okay.
So he's one of our sales guys as well, and he's pretty good at one-on-one. He has a sneaky first step and a great jump shot. So
sounds like you've got his number though. You're gonna watch for him. I love mentioned sure. Space Jam. We did an episode talking about top sports movies and talked a lot about Space Jam on that episode, and it made me go watch it with my son. And then you know, the Legends does these family movie nights, and so right when Space Jam 2 came out, I took Jack and we went and watched Space Jam 2, and I thought it was great. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. And I thought it was really entertaining and fun. And I think that, did you see it, Space Jam 2?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. I like how they modernized it with the fact that it all goes back into this video game world with these kids.
Right.
And then showed how, like, it isn't a stupid thing. Like, they can be really into it and really creative and building things in this life of their video game world. So yeah, I thought they did a good job.
I thought Space Jam 2 was great. You know, I heard a lot of people hating on Space Jam 2 and not really liking it. But you know, when I look back, I don't think it was made for us as adults to enjoy, because you know, it's a child's movie. Like when the first Space Jam came out, you know, it was cool and everybody loved Michael Jordan, and I was a child, so I loved it. But Space Jam 2 is amazing just because, you know, it caters to this new generation of children, right, and you know what they enjoy. And you know, we might not like what they like now. So
right. And it's not for us. Well, it's you're younger than me, so it's definitely not for me at all. Like not, I mean, it's an animated it's got Bugs Bunny and it's Looney Tunes. So it's not for a 42-year-old mom for sure, but what's good about it is that I sat through it and enjoyed it, and even though it wasn't for me, you know, it was it still entertained me enough. So yeah, so awesome. Well, I'm happy to meet you now, Joel. When I see you out there at networking events and at games, I will now be able to say hey and chat, and anybody listening can do the same. And we're excited for Legends season.
I'm excited as well. I'm happy to meet you as well. You know, this is a great conversation, and I look forward to, you know, continuing the conversation when we see each other and just getting to know each other more.
Yep, for sure. Well, welcome to Frisco and welcome to the Legends.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Hustle and Pro. Wherever you listen to podcasts, please be sure to subscribe. And if you like this episode, please make sure you leave us a rating and share with your friends.